Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order. A quorum is present. First item on the agenda are the minutes for June 19th, 2020. Representative Herr moves adoption of those minutes. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the minutes for June 19, 2020 are approved. The next item on the agenda is House Resolution 1, presented by Representative Richardson. I will make the motion that House Resolution 1 be adopted by the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration and be reported to the House. I will ask Representative Richardson to present her resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Rules Committee. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to bring forward House Resolution 1, which would declare racism a public health crisis and establish a House Select Committee to address systemic racism and promote equity in the State House of Representatives and in Minnesota. The intent of this resolution is to acknowledge and recognize racism as a public health crisis and to build alliances to address, to actually address dismantling racism and advance and promote equitable opportunity across all of our systems in the areas of health, education, housing, public safety, and economic and workforce development. Racism has adversely impacted the lives of Black, Indigenous, Latinx, Asian American, and Pacific Islander Americans, not only in Minnesota, but across the nation. Studies have shown that racism is a public health crisis that can be lethal. The COVID-19 pandemic and the senseless murder of George Floyd have shined a light on the historical and contemporary systemic injustices that are so deeply embedded in our society. Our systems are working just the way that they were designed to work, and they have been designed to perpetuate injustice and to perpetuate inequity. Take, for example, the maternal child health mortality outcomes. Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die during childbirth than white women, even when you control for educational attainment, wealth, socioeconomic status, that disparity still exists. What is heartbreaking about those deaths is the fact that 60% of those deaths are preventable. Black infants and babies are twice as likely to die before their first birthday. In Minnesota, the highest excess death rates exist for Indigenous and Black people at every single age demographic. We have unacceptable disparities in our schools. The opportunity gap and the deep disparities in school discipline. In fact, in every area of life, be it housing, workforce, public safety, or economic development, we have deep and persistent disparities. Racism is a public health crisis just as COVID is a public health crisis. It's literally killing our communities. And racism must be recognized in order to take prompt action at all levels of government in order to address this crisis. This is really a first step that we're taking today when we talk about declaring racism as a public health crisis, because the Minnesota House will have the opportunity to acknowledge that today in 2020, that racism is still alive and well within our communities. And it's also an opportunity to acknowledge the reality that the promise embodied in the statement, all men are created equal, has not been realized in our state, and it has not been realized within the U.S. either. It took well over 400 years of persistent and unrelenting injustice to get us to this moment, and we know that this resolution is just one single step forward. We're not going to undo 400 years of racial oppression within a special session or within a resolution, but it is a step forward to begin the work of dismantling racism. This resolution would move the House forward by ensuring that we're collaborating with the state's law and justice agencies and the community to work to ensure public confidence that public safety is administered equitably. It would involve studying, evaluating, and conducting an assessment of the existing policies and practices of the Minnesota House of Representatives using an intersectional lens of racial equity, and also setting measurable goals to advance equity through policies and practices. The resolution would call for the House to conduct an assessment related to all human resources, vendor selection, including reviewing internal processes and practices related to hiring, promotions, and leadership appointments. The work would include enhancing data-driven education efforts on understanding, addressing, and dismantling racism, and how racism affects public health, family stability, early childhood education, economic development, public safety, housing, and the delivery of human services. It would also involve working with local, regional, and federal initiatives that are working to advance efforts to dismantle systemic racism and partnering with local organizations that have a demonstrated track record of doing the same. It would require the convening of a House Select Committee on Minnesota's response to addressing racism as a public health crisis to ensure that the House is analyzing this through an intersectional race equity lens. Since statehood in 1858 in Minnesota, laws have been enacted that have explicitly, implicitly, or unintentionally impacted Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. Even when these laws have been repealed, the after effects are still deeply felt within our state and within our communities. Minnesota will never be truly able to move forward and prosper as a state if it doesn't guarantee equitable opportunities to every resident, regardless of race. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on the resolution, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to stand for questions.
Member comments or questions would be in order now. I don't have anybody with a raised hand or with seeking recognition through the committee administrator, so I will wait a minute to see if anyone else seeks recognition. Mike, Representative Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Richardson. I just want to thank Representative Richardson for bringing this very important resolution and committee work forward. And as you stated, it in itself is not going to create systemic change, but putting a focus on our work is so necessary, and this is a great way to do so. And I just wanted to call out the importance of the intersections of all these issues we're working on. And a couple years ago, the Bloomington Public Health Department undertook a large study to assess the health impacts as they relate to housing in Richfield and Bloomington, and found a significant correlation between housing insecurity and health outcomes. And in Richfield, and things like folks that rent more, house burdens, exercise less, have food insecurity, delayed medical expenses, and of course in Minnesota we have some of the widest racial disparities in terms of home ownership and home stability in the country. And so so much of our systems have been set up this way, and I really applaud this resolution naming it and hopefully guiding us towards work to dismantle systemic racism across so many issues in the future. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to say thank you to Representative Richardson. I know she and I have had discussions about this, that I spent the last year of my looking at the health disparities between Black and Brown mothers and their white counterparts. And I really appreciate the efforts being put forward, because this clearly is a crisis that needs to be addressed. You know, and I think that oftentimes people want to point to all these other factors as to why our Black mothers might not be getting the care that they need, which is creating these disparities. But we know that it is despite income, right? We know that it is despite education. We know that even when a Black woman has the ability to advocate for herself and she doesn't have barriers of income or education, that even then her outcomes are the same. And so I think that it's really important for us to look beyond all of the, well, what about all these other factors or structures, when we know that it is clearly just the person's color of their skin, and that this is creating, does that factor create health disparities, creates disparities around prosperity, around the quality of life that somebody may have, that their rates of death the age of death is also lower than for our dominant culture. And so I really appreciate Representative Richardson that this is being brought forward and being lifted up, because it truly is something we have to address. I just wanted to make that comment, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Herr. Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just briefly wanted to thank Representative Richardson for bringing this forward. I mean, we know just from the outcomes related to public health in this state and the vast disparities there are, whether you're talking about, you know, tobacco use rates or premature death rates or rates related to heart attack, there are the severe disparities. You know, the disparities in Minnesota are among the worst in the country. And a lot of these are rooted in systemic racism. So I think it's really important that as a House, as a Rules Committee, and as the full House, that we acknowledge this and that we take concrete steps like appointing a committee to look at this and just looking at policy with an equity lens. A lot of this, these issues are rooted in systemic racism, and we need to address it. So I think this is an important first step. And just thank you, Representative Richardson, for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Representative Freiberg. The last thing I would say, members, is that the institution of the Minnesota House of Representatives has to examine itself carefully, I think collaboratively, and take the time necessary to truly understand the ways in which intentionally and unintentionally the institution itself continues to feed racism and racial inequity in our society, and the ways that we can change our own practices and behaviors and expectations of the institution. And so I expect that this committee will continue to have a significant role in this work going forward. I think of this resolution as a first step as a house to consider our own course of conduct, our own ways of doing things, and believe that with the right attitude and the right spirit of seeking to correct injustice, that we can move forward together. And Representative Richardson, I can say with absolute confidence that without your determination to bring this forward and your persistence in helping everyone else to see what we need to see on this resolution and this public health crisis, we would not be taking this up today. And so to you personally, I want to thank you for bringing this forward and helping this institution become a more just body that better reflects the ideals that we all believe in. And so with that, I renew my motion that House Resolution 1 be adopted by the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration and be reported to the House. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 The motion prevails and the resolution is adopted, and it will go to the House floor. Thank you, members, for that. The next item on our agenda is approval of House policies and resolutions. It's the 2020 P7 compensatory time resolution. I will move adoption of the 2020 P7 resolution and ask Ms. Knight from House Human Resources to present.
Mr. Chair and members, the P7 resolution is in response to some unusual session demands that we have had during 2020. Currently, our compensatory time that individuals earn expires October 31st of each year. And what the proposition is that this year, that time will not expire and instead will be placed into the prior worked holiday hours. This will give staff the opportunity to use this time through December 31st of 2021. The goal was to give our staff a little breathing room in order to be able to use the comp time earned, but yet not have the time have a negative budget impact. As a result, the transferred time will not have a cash value if someone leaves house employment.
Any questions or discussion from members? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the 2020 P7 resolution relating to comp time, please say aye.
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 Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the 2020 P7 resolution is adopted. Members, without anything else before the committee today, It looks like we have something coming in from Representative O'Neill. Do you wish to be recognized?
Only a quick procedural thing. The previous vote, you didn't ask for the no votes. I don't know if there are any, but you didn't ask for any. So just procedurally, if you would continue to do that in the future.
Representative O'Neill, thanks for the reminder. I certainly thought that I did, but if not, we can retake the roll call if you're interested.
Well, I can only speak for myself. It doesn't pertain to me specifically, but I don't know if there were some no votes, but you did kind of jump past that quickly. I know we move quickly in this committee, but you still need to follow procedure.
Agreed. But I don't see anyone else with a hand raised or requesting recognition. So I think we are safe in moving to adjournment. And so members of the committee is adjourned.